Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I am Elaine Baumgartel. And today we're asking the question, is same-sex marriage coming to New Mexico? Last week, some Santa Fe officials announced they believe same-sex marriage is legal under current New Mexico law. The ACLU New Mexico has filed a lawsuit on behalf of several same-sex couples who were denied marriage licenses in Bernalillo County last week. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments in two same-sex marriage cases this week. We've been bringing you coverage of that during our NPR programming here on KUNM. We'd like to hear from you. Should same-sex couples in New Mexico be able to get married? Is it just a matter of time, or are there serious obstacles to marriage equality here? Email callinshow at kunm.org. You can post your comments online, or you can call in live. The number to call is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Joining us this morning, we have a wide range of guests, and we're going to start off first with the city attorney from Santa Fe, Gino Zamora. Good morning, Gino. How are you?
Good morning, Elaine. I'm doing well this morning.
Great. Thank you. I understand that the resolution that you and Santa Fe Mayor Koss have put together was presented to the Santa Fe City Council last night. Can you let us know, kind of give us an idea of what happened last night and what that looked like?
Sure. Last night, the resolution was introduced by Mayor Koss, Councillor Boucher, Councillor Ron Trujillo, and Councillor Chris Calvert at a meeting that was packed full of supporters for same-sex marriage in New Mexico. And the title of that resolution included recognizing that same-sex marriage is already legal in New Mexico, encouraging the county clerks to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, encouraging the New Mexico Attorney General to issue an opinion regarding marriage licenses for same-sex couples, and finally expressing support for the efforts to enforce the marriage laws in New Mexico, specifically the lawsuits that were filed last week.
And my understanding is that Councillors Patty Boucher, Chris Calvert, and Ronald Trujillo co-sponsored the resolution, and that a vote on that resolution is expected at the council meeting late in April.
That's correct. On April 24th, this resolution will come to the council for final action and adoption.
Okay, so one of the things when I first heard this news last week, one of the first things I thought was, okay, so the city attorney of Santa Fe has a legal opinion on this New Mexico law, but what kind of authority do you have to press that opinion on other counties and cities across the state? Can you talk to me about your perspective on that?
Sure. Quite honestly, a city attorney does not have authority over county clerks. But what the city of Santa Fe decided and what these co-sponsors decided was that it was time for a legal opinion to be expressed and expressed publicly from a public official in a public official's office that had authority to research this, weigh in, and give a legal opinion. And so that's where I stepped in and where my office stepped in, is we put together the research that demonstrates that New Mexico's marriage laws are not gender specific. They do not define marriage as between a man and a woman, but instead between two parties. And that's one of the more intriguing things, and why we're different than those states that ban same-sex marriage, because it's not defined as between a man and a woman. And also, there are sections in our marriage laws that specifically prohibit types of marriages. And guess what? Same-sex marriages are not listed as prohibited marriages in New Mexico.
I'd like to bring Daniel Ivy Soto into the conversation. He's with the Association of New Mexico County Clerks. Daniel, respond a little bit to what Gino Zamora is saying with respect to city attorney authority over county clerks, and also give us some history. This isn't the first time that this question about the ambiguity in New Mexico's marriage laws has resulted in action around same-sex marriage.
Well, that's correct. First of all, Gino is, I think, has accurately portrayed his role in all of this, in that the city attorney does not have the authority to dictate what county clerk should do, nor really to interpret state law in terms of having an official interpretation of state law. In 2004, the Sandoval County Clerk at the time, Victoria Dunlap, came to a similar conclusion to what Gino has come to,
it was ambiguous.
Well, in her view, that it was legal. Mm-hmm. And so she started issuing marriage licenses. She issued 64 on the day that she announced that she was going to do this. And the Attorney General at the time, Patricia Madrid, issued an advisory letter. And the advisory letter focused on the form for the application and the license, which is contained in statute. And the form does use the words bridegroom and male-female. And so based upon that, as well as some other references outside of the marriage laws directly, Patricia Madrid came to the conclusion that it was not legal in New Mexico. She then took the further step, in addition to issuing the advisory letter, of going to district court to get a restraining order against Victoria Dunlap, restraining her from continuing that practice. The district court at the time agreed with the Attorney General, and it was appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, without issuing a decision, allowed the restraining order to stay in place.
So currently there's a restraining order against the Sandoval County Clerk. Or was it just Victoria Dunlap an individual?
That restraining order remained in effect when Victoria Dunlap then left office. They went back to the district court and with the new county clerk agreeing not to issue same-sex marriage licenses, the restraining order was dissolved at that time.
Got it. Okay. So what you've just explained is something that we have reported on here at KUNM. Rita Daniels and Tristan Ottone did some reporting last week on this, where they went with a couple to the Bernalillo County Clerk to try to get a same-sex couple to try to get a marriage license. And it was exactly that, the form and the language on the form for the application for the marriage license that indicated a male and a female as the two different people. so you're saying that form is decided by statute.
That it's actually kind of an unusual situation. Most forms are not actually in statute. We take the statute, we create a form administratively. This form is contained in Section 40-1-18, and so it is in law.
I'd like to bring Stephen Robert Allen into the conversation. He is with the American Civil Liberties Union New Mexico branch. Good morning, Stephen.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So when we were talking, when I mentioned the form and the form being in statute, you were shaking your head. Talk to me about your perspective on this, the issue of the form.
Well, our position is that, we filed this lawsuit last week, and our position is that first of all, we believe that our state constitution would prohibit this any sort of ban on marriage between same-sex couples. So, I mean, that's the gist of our lawsuit, and that's what we believe, regardless of what the form says.
So if the form is in statute, your argument would be that's unconstitutional.
That's right.
Got it. So talk to me a little bit about the lawsuit that has been filed, the couples that you are representing.
Yes, happy to do that. We filed this lawsuit last Thursday, I believe, and we have these couples that went to the Bernalillo County Clerk to get a license, and they were refused. And this lawsuit's something that's been thought about for some time. It's certainly not something that we just jumped on. Our plaintiffs are extraordinary people, quite frankly. We've heard a lot at the national level about Edie Windsor and her extraordinary story in the Defense of Marriage Act case, which was argued before the Supreme Court yesterday. Our plaintiffs have equally amazing stories. Ona and Miriam are an example. They've been together for 25 years. They've raised children together. They've cared for both of their dying mothers together. They've built lives together. They love each other. They're committed to each other. And we believe that our state constitution protects their ability to get married just like a different sex couple would have the ability to get married.
Gino Zamora from the city of Santa Fe, I want to come back to you and ask you about the timing of this resolution and announcement in Santa Fe. What was the motivation for timing this last week?
So, certainly. There were two bases for the timing. First and foremost, the city of Santa Fe really wanted to respect the state legislative process. There were bills, especially by Brian Egolf, state representative out of Santa Fe, to develop a process for specifically providing marriage rights for same-sex couples. At the conclusion of the legislature, unfortunately, nothing had been resolved. There was nothing one way or the other. And so the city of Santa Fe felt, okay, we've respected the process of the legislature. It's really time to come out and announce this analysis. Secondly, I think the city of Santa Fe wanted to be out ahead of the national curve, in that we had this the U.S. Supreme Court hearing the DOMA case and the Prop 8 case out of California, and Santa Fe really wanted to be on record, not only advocating equal rights and civil rights, but demonstrating how New Mexico's statutes already provided those equal rights.
We're talking about whether same-sex marriage is on its way to New Mexico, and we are taking your calls this morning. Do you believe that same-sex couples should be able to get married in New Mexico? The number is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866 or post your comments online. We also will take your emails, and that address is callinshow@kunm.org. Another question for you. How would you like to see this debate decided? We've been talking about the request for an AG opinion on this. The Attorney General Gary King has been asked to provide an opinion kind of in the same, I guess, in the similar vein that Patricia Madrid provided an opinion in 2004. And then we have the failure of several bills in this year's legislative session. And then we also have lawsuits going before judges with respect to constitutionality. Do you see one of these methods of democracy as being the one that you believe in the most, or the one that you think applies to this particular question about same-sex marriage? Again, the number to call, 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Or email callinshow@kunm.org. I just want to come back to you, Gino, and ask if there was anything else that you wanted to add this morning when you think about moving forward with this resolution and what you think this does for the city of Santa Fe in the context of the larger national conversation.
Sure. What it does for the city of Santa Fe is really demonstrate that the city of Santa Fe stands for equal rights for all. First and foremost, when we call for equal rights, we don't mean equal rights with for only heterosexuals, but for all people, heterosexuals as well as the LGBT community. Secondarily, with regard to the marriage laws as they're currently written, and because they have no definition of marriages between a man and a woman, we really feel that each day that people assume that same-sex marriage is illegal, it's really justice delayed for those same-sex couples. And as we all know, justice delayed equates to justice denied. So it's really in Santa Fe's best interest to advocate on behalf of its citizens that marriage be permitted now. because it's not prohibited, which I'd like to make one other point on that. I did describe legislation this year. Each year in the legislature, legislators introduce bills to change the definition on New Mexico's books to be specifically a definition of marriage between a man and a woman. And each year, for about the last 10 years, those efforts have failed. So the legislature really has spoken that this gender-neutral definition of marriage is the definition that New Mexico wants.
Although the legislature has also spoken in not supporting proposals to, in effect, legalize same-sex marriage in the same way. It's almost like, I mean, would it be accurate to say that the legislature has spoken and maintained the ambiguity, and that's why we're here again nearly 10 years later?
That is another way to put it, but I like to focus on the fact that the definition of marriage has intentionally not been narrowed in New Mexico.
Sure thing. Thank you very much, Gino. Gino Zamora is the city attorney with the city of Santa Fe, and he released an opinion along with Mayor Koss of Santa Fe last week, and has also presented a resolution before the Santa Fe City Council. A vote is expected on that by the end of April. Thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Zamora.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
I'd like to go now to take a quick break today. We are talking about same-sex marriage and whether it's coming to New Mexico. I see we have some full phone lines, so we'll take a quick break and come right back with your calls. This is KUNM.
The Santa Fe World Affairs Forum presents a two-day symposium, Living in Challenging Times, the United States and East Asia, on April 8th and 9th at St. John's College in Santa Fe. The symposium offers opportunities for Q&A, and the closing session will include a panel discussion with the five nationally recognized presenters. For complete details and to register, visit sfwaf.org or call 505-550-6392. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe World Affairs Forum.
Work with the Navajo community to preserve its WPA school. Learn how to create a historic community website or get a practical introduction to preservation law. Each is the subject of an intensive one-week preservation course this coming June. Learn more at an informational meeting next Monday, April 23rd at noon in Pearl Hall next to the UNM bookstore. For more details, call 277-0071. A message from the tax-exempt UNM School of Architecture and Planning.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. The topic of today's program is same-sex marriage. The U.S. Supreme Court held hearings on two cases dealing with same-sex marriage this week, on Proposition 8 in California and also on the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. We did bring you coverage of both of those hearings during Morning Edition and All Things Considered from NPR, some detailed coverage, including some really interesting audio from some of these discussions between the lawyers presenting the two sides of the cases and the Supreme Court justices. Stephen Robert Allen with ACLU New Mexico, is there a moment in any of that back and forth between the judges and the lawyers that sticks out in your mind that was really meaningful to you that we've heard reported in the last couple of days?
Well, you know, I mean, the caveat, of course, is that there's always a temptation to try and prophesize what's going to come out of this from this the 1 hour.
Which was not my question, by the way.
Right. but, you know, putting that aside, I mean, it's fascinating to hear listen very closely to Justice Kennedy, who, you know, everyone is expecting to be the swing vote on this issue, and just see how he's probing these issues. There wasn't sort of one particular moment that stuck out to me, but, you know, they're fascinating discussions for sure, partly for that reason.
Great. We have Karina from Las Vegas on the line. Karina, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I had a question for Mr. Allen, and I guess my question is with regard to his comment about the possibility that the statute – setting up language on the form that's gender-specific might be unconstitutional. What about New Mexico has statutory constructions, statutes that govern the construing of statutes? And in those, I think it's 12 2A-2, there's a preference for construing the male pronouns to also include the female as well, as the plural containing and also meaning the singular.
Karina, let me jump in and ask you, see if I'm understanding your point correctly. I'm assuming that you're talking about statutes that may have male pronouns in them only, and the idea is, no, we're going to construe them to mean men and women in order to be equal among men and women. And that, and then are you saying that this, that shouldn't this apply to this particular form in the case of marriage license applications? Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's already on the books. I think the legislature has said that when we say male, we mean male and female, and when we say female, we mean male and female, and that's in our statutes regarding statutory construction. So it seems like that, you know, once again, the New Mexico laws are not unconstitutional, which is a nice thing, that they're not discriminatory.
Daniel Ivy Soto, you had a comment.
Yes. So the statute that she is referring to, and it's an excellent technical point, is part of the Uniform Statutory Construction Act. But if you look at the beginning of the Uniform Statutory Construction Act, it specifically says that this applies to any statute that is adopted on or after the effective date of the Uniform Statutory Construction Act. And that act was actually passed in, if I remember correctly, in 1997.
After the statute
that is correct.
That was passed about marriage.
That is correct.
So it doesn't apply. Stephen Robert Allen, did you see that in the same way?
Right. You know, it's important to point out that the marriage statute itself, you know, setting the form aside, doesn't mention gender. So, you know, there's an argument that the marriage statutes itself, or marriage laws themselves, are, you know, allow for same-sex marriage here in New Mexico already. That's part of the argument we're making in our litigation.
So why why aren't county clerks issuing licenses to same-sex couples then?
Well, you know, it's important to point out that our plaintiffs went to the Bernalillo County clerk, who believes that licenses should be issued to same-sex couples. She believes that same-sex marriage is something that's that should be protected, that is a fundamental right. I think we just need confirmation from our courts, our state courts, and that's what our litigation is about, so that our county clerks will have guidance going forward. And we feel, you know, optimistic about achieving that confirmation.
I'd like to bring another panelist into the conversation. His name is Glenn Strock, and he is pastor at the Pecos Valley Cowboy Church in Glorieta. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Hi, Elaine. How you doing?
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Glenn did go to the state legislature this year and provide some testimony in opposition to same-sex marriage legislation, right, Glenn?
Yes.
Talk to me about your view on this question of that Stephen has just described, taking the statutes before the judges to have their interpretation confirmed so that county clerks can issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. What is your perspective on that?
Well, I think we do have a beautiful legal system. We have a unique democratic republic form of government through the cooperative efforts of the executive, legislative, and judicial mechanisms. We empower law. We create law. And so I think Stephen's approach is correct. I think the mayor and city councilor Boucher and the city attorney have tried to run a premature circumvention of that process. I was at the meeting last night of the city council, and to date, the resolution has not been presented in detail. Last night, they simply postponed it. Many people, both supporters and people who do not agree with it, were present, and most of them, after sitting from 5 to 7 o'clock at night, filtered out when they were told it wasn't going to be presented in detail. So for them to present it publicly as the position of the city of Santa Fe, when it hasn't even been agreed to by the council or the citizens, then I think that's a bit premature. And my understanding is that local public officials do not have jurisdiction to dictate new law and exercise their personal opinions directing county clerks.
Let's take another call from Claudio in Albuquerque. Claudio, you're on the air.
Hey, Elaine, how's it going?
Just fine, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. I essentially just wanted to insert my comment and say that I think New Mexico should lead this, and I think we should grant equality for everybody and essentially be able to license, you know, same sex couples a marriage license. I think we should absolutely move that forward. As a Colombiano Americano, as a student of the university, and as a musician, I've grown up and seen so many students, other musician friends of mine who have grown up in with two mothers, and I mean, they're still together. They've produced wonderful children. They've gotten everything together, and I think there's no reason why New Mexico should be behind on this. I think we should move forward on this.
What do you think about this conversation we're having about whether the Santa Fe city officials are kind of doing the right thing by going on the record with the resolution? Do you have a response to that criticism that Glenn just made?
I do, because I believe what I had last heard about this whole topic was that essentially these are things that are dealt with in the states as opposed to the federal. It's not federal jurisdiction, I believe, is how I heard it. And so essentially the people, you know, presenting a resolution is our state, people within our state talking about this and essentially trying to work towards a resolving this. So, yes, I'm in support of it, and I'm against what Glenn said.
Great. Thanks a lot for your call, Claudio. Let's go to Melissa in Albuquerque. Good morning, Melissa. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. I appreciate this show, and I appreciate everyone's comments and different opinions and ideas. I'm one of the people who I have been married in New Mexico. I was married in New Mexico on February 20th, 2004. I have my authentic, properly administered marriage license and marriage certificate. It's hanging on my wall. My wife and I have actually been together for 12 years, but 9 years ago was the first opportunity we had to make that union legal here in New Mexico. And so for us, this is not sort of an interesting philosophical or legal question. It's very concrete. And the fact that I, at every turn, have to wonder if a given institution will recognize my marriage the way that they would if I were married to a man. If I were married to a man, then I said I were married, then it would be rather automatic. All kinds of things, you know. One of the most concrete for me is my spouse has worked for the state of New Mexico for nearly 20 years, and as we do retirement planning, we don't know if our marriage will be respected and if I will have the same access to her benefits as I would if she were a man. And so I guess so that's just a comment, that there are many of us who we need to know urgently and very concretely, you know, we need our marriages to be recognized. But beyond that, I want to ask a question. Is there anyone out there who can tell me how they have personally been harmed, or how they feel anyone has been harmed by the fact that I have been married to a woman for the last 9 years?
I'm gonna put that question to you, Glenn. Do you feel that same-sex marriage is something that harms other people?
When we're talking about embracing same-sex marriage, is that we're reconstructing society, and so it does have a far-reaching effect to the whole social order of society that all of us live in. So yes, it does have a profound effect. Scripture points out, or actually God's word points out, he specifically says in his word that you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. He goes on to say, whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from their people. That's a description of society being torn, the fabric of society being torn. So that's, you know, that's one of the concerns I think Christians have with the issue.
When Melissa asked her question, she was asking for anybody to share experiences of having been harmed by the fact that she has been married to a woman for 12 years. Do you have a response to that?
Gosh, I don't know her personal, you know, I don't know the extenuating, overlapping relationships that she has in the world around her specifically, so it would be beyond my understanding, you know, how her personal situation would affect.
I do want to bring in the statement from the New Mexico Conference of Catholic Bishops. This statement was released yesterday, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, but we do have it posted on our website at KUNM.org if you'd like to read it in its entirety. But a couple of excerpts. We, the Catholic Bishops of New Mexico, wish in these circumstances to reiterate our belief in the definition of marriage as a lifelong bond between one man and one woman. They go on to say, if the biblical definition of marriage is changed to include same-sex couples, the effects on our society would be regrettable for many reasons. And then they continue, the redefinition of marriage to include same-sex couples cannot be classified as a civil right, as it would infringe upon other important rights, such as the right of children to a mother and father, as well as the right to religious freedom. Those are excerpts of the statement from the New Mexico Conference of Bishops. It is posted in its entirety on our website at KUNM.org. Stephen Robert Allen, you were wanting to respond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as someone who was raised Catholic and still considers himself Catholic, the interesting thing about Catholic support for gay marriage is it's actually higher than the general population. And, you know, I think the Catholic Church in general is, on this issue, as on so many others, just needs to shift into the 21st century on this one. It's important, you know, the ACLU recognizes that we can win in the court of law, but we also need to win in the court of public opinion. And so we've done a lot of outreach to clergy and faith communities all over the state on this. And one of my colleagues has headed up this effort. We actually have 58 clergy members from all over the state, most of them from mainline Christian denominations. We're talking about Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Lutherans, who have signed on in passionate support for the freedom to marry for same-sex couples. So with all due respect to you know, the folks that want to speak on behalf of all Christians, they just can't do that because it's simply not true. There are Christians all over the state of New Mexico who believe very much in the freedom to marry for same-sex couples.
Let's take another call from Rebecca in Albuquerque. Good morning, Rebecca. You're on the air.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Okay, well, I just wanted to talk about the Loving case that was decided decades ago by the United States Supreme Court. And in that case, after it was passed, they had a lot of the same arguments that we're making right now about gay marriage. And if that case wasn't decided the way it was, my parents wouldn't have been able to get married, and I might not even be in existence right now.
And
it's just kind of ironic the way our free democracy progresses to include more and more individuals into our sphere of who's protected under the law and whose individual rights we're concerned about. The Supreme Court, whether it's New Mexico Supreme Court or the United States, we made these institutions to protect individual rights from the majority rules. And sometimes majorities can make bad decisions that infringe on our inalienable rights that we agreed upon as a sovereign. I mean, that's what we agreed upon when we made the Constitution. When our founding fathers wrote that, the First Amendment pretty much covers everything we're talking about when we're discussing gay marriage and equal protection under the law. It's one of our personal beliefs as individuals. If we choose to love a man or a woman of the same sex, it's something that we consider a part of our identity. It's something that we hold as a personal belief, almost as close as religion. And I think that it would be a testament to ourselves as a democracy and as a country that believes in protecting inalienable rights to uphold the right of these individuals to marry whom they choose. Who are we as a country to say who somebody else can love? And if we want to get into the legalities and all that, they used to say that for a white person to marry a black person or anyone of any other race was like bestiality. And when we passed that law, everyone said, oh, well, now we're just opening the door for everyone to marry whoever they want. And it didn't happen that way. And
hey, Rebecca.
People in that protection, I don't think that that's going to happen either.
Thanks.
And I think it's our responsibility as a democracy to protect people's individual rights and protect them to be allowed to love and make the decisions about their life however they want to.
Thanks so much for your call, Rebecca. I'm fading you down and going to another caller because we've got full phone lines, and I think we I'm glad we got your call, and I think we got your point. Let's go to David in Socorro. Good morning, David. You're on the air.
Hello, my name is David. Good morning to you guys. I would just like to say this shouldn't all be a political issue. It shouldn't be crammed down our throat as Americans, for one. And number two, I think all this, God made man and woman. That's the bottom line of it. Any other thing, people are mentally ill and need help. Thank you.
Let's take another call. Alan in Grants. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. First of all, well, I have a question for the pastor, kind of a two-pronged question.
Sure.
And, Pastor, please understand that I was once a fundamentalist Christian myself, so I understand your viewpoint. I also understand that you are absolutely convinced that your beliefs are correct. Now, and I respect that. However, I've never had anyone from your side of the argument, including clergy, been able to give me a convincing argument for how allowing gay marriage would affect traditional marriage at all, specifically. Now, I heard you say earlier, and I apologize if I missed something, but I heard you say earlier that it would affect society, long range, et cetera, but specifically how? Now, that's number one. Number two
Alan, let's give the pastor a chance to answer your question number one first.
Okay.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Hi. I have to go back to God's word in Leviticus 18. When he led Moses into the promised land, he warned him that the reason the peoples of the land in front of him were cast out was because of these practices. In fact, he said, do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for all these nations are defiled, which I am casting out. And that creates something problematic because the preamble to our Constitution actually states that God Almighty is the one who's giving us the capabilities to govern ourselves and enjoy the blessings of liberty and secure all the advantages of a fruitful government. And so if we ignore him and rebel against his guidelines, we venture forth on our own experimental passages. And you know, human history has proven that well-maintained, loving marriage between a man and a woman is the only incubator for healthy human culture. There is no equal. So for us to vote amongst ourselves and all agree that some alternative is equal, well, that doesn't make it truly equal. Marriage between two people of the same sex can never be actually equal.
Well, now that's a really nice segue into my second point, and that is, as convinced as you are of a biblical standpoint, there are those of us who are equally convinced that that's just simply not true, that we just reject religion completely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given that, why do you believe you have a right to impose your personal beliefs on the rest of society?
I would say that I'm trying to adhere to the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of New Mexico. And the preamble of our Constitution, the context of our Constitution, is one nation under God, under Almighty God. Now, if you don't embrace God and you choose otherwise, go for it. But I'm living within the constructs of a document that is fashioned for the protection of a very unique experiment in the history of the world. And it's proven itself to be fruitful. Now, if you choose to take another path, that's your business. But I adhere to the context of our Constitution, which is under Almighty God.
I'm gonna ask Alan to let us go to a few more callers. Let's go to Bill in Rio Rancho. Good morning, Bill. You're on the air.
I wanted to. Now, first of all, in my personal life, I am a social conservative in that, I agree with the pastor, at least on his view of gay marriage. However, from a standpoint of public policy, I don't see the state having the power to define marriage. For me, marriage is a religious construct. For other people, it's something else. All I want from the state is a form of a social contract, which, you know, defines certain rights and responsibilities between my spouse and I. I don't derive any of my value of what I believe marriage is from what the state does. In fact, historically, the state didn't get involved in marriage until after the French Revolution. And the state has, in our country, the whole idea, a lot of the idea of initially having the state get involved in marriage was so it could prohibit marriages like interracial marriages and marriages it did not approve of. That's not the place for the state. My faith, I feel like I'm losing my faith if I'm asking the state to validate my faith. I don't need the state to do so. I just need the state to guarantee my right to believe as I wish, practice as I wish. I can use my right to free speech to share my beliefs, and others can use their right to free association to listen to me or not, or choose to associate with me or not over that. Other than that, I don't need the state to define marriage at all.
We're talking about same-sex marriage in New Mexico. Glenn Strock is joining us on the phone. He is the pastor of the Pecos Valley Cowboy Church in Glorieta. We also have Stephen Robert Allen with the ACLU New Mexico, and Daniel Ivy Soto. He is with the Association of New Mexico County Clerks. I want to take another call. Mel in Los Ranchos. Good morning, Mel. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I've known lots of couples who are not heterosexual, and they are very happy. They do very well. Some have adopted children, and they are in committed relationships. They are good citizens. They should be allowed to continue. It's very simple. I don't care what the church says. I'm Catholic. I'm heterosexual. I've been married for over 30 years to the same person, woman. It doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that I have the right to tell anybody else what they can or cannot do with their relationships. That's all.
Thanks for your call, Mel. Let's go now to Margaret in Albuquerque. Good morning, Margaret. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have two comments. I want to agree with the speaker who said that the state shouldn't define marriage at all. I think it would be a much more efficient solution if everyone, any couple of any gender combination, had a civil union, all of us across the board, and then anyone who wanted to have, in addition to that, a marriage related to a church could deal with their own personal church to work in that realm, whether they wanted to call that a marriage or something else. I think that all couples should have equal rights under the law, and that should be the civil union. And then I just also wanted to respond to the discussion happening regarding the viewpoint of religion versus a not religion perspective on gay marriage, and using religion as a reasoning for opposing or not opposing gay marriage. It seems to me that in religion is a construct of people, of humans, not of God. And there's a difference between God and religion, and each religion interprets God in its own particular way, telling the believers of that individual religion what supposedly God has said. In all religion, it seems to me the underlying most important message is love and that needs to be paid attention to more than anything else.
Thanks for your call, Margaret. Daniel Ivysoto, you had a comment.
Yes. Well, I do think one of the interesting things that this caller brings up is that with regard to marriage, we permit ministers to conduct an act that it takes a judge to undo. And, my parents got married in Cuba. That's the Soto, my last name. And when they got married, they wanted the benefits under the state, so they went to a civil officer to get married. But they also wanted their union to be blessed by God. After getting the paperwork from the civil officer, they went to a church, and they got married there under God. And in most of the world, those are two separate and distinct actions. And in the United States, we combine those two into one.
Stephen Robert Allen, your thoughts on that? And then I'm going to come back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, that we are talking about government officials issuing marriage licenses. That's what this is about. Nothing about, you know, our litigation or anything that's involved here is going to change what churches can choose to do. Churches can marry who they please. Faith communities can marry who they please.
But that is one of the concerns that some church leaders have expressed of, am I going to lose my my tax-exempt status and be accused of discriminating against same-sex couples by saying, no, we don't?
And they're not. Our litigation is about, confirming that our Constitution requires that our county clerks, our government officials, need to issue these marriage licenses to everyone regardless of sexual orientation.
Glenn, is that one of the concerns that you have with respect to the autonomy of religious organizations?
Well, gosh, I guess, the issue is pivoting around marriage. And Scripture, again, I have to defer to Scripture. God's Word tells us that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And I think what we're seeing here is out of one side of the mouth is said, this doesn't affect anybody else, it's just our business, it's two consenting adults, and it doesn't affect anyone. And yet there's this huge push to redefine marriage, when that would imply that we already have a defined marriage. We already know, everyone knows the definition of marriage. And so there's this huge push to insert the LGBT community on the basis of their civil rights into the civil rights of everyone. And, that particular people group, we know, struggles mightily with higher incidences of sexually transmitted diseases and promiscuity and mental illness and suicide and drug addiction and child molestation and premature death. Do we want to insert that into the marriage bed? It seems to me there's a push to represent the LGBT community as the face of civil rights. But the face of civil rights under our Constitution is every single citizen, everybody. So what do we do? I mean, it is a challenge because I believe the LGBT community does have some serious struggles, and we should come alongside. But redefining the core of our society to please their desires, I'm not sure. It just seems that we're allowing the personal opinions of a few to take precedence over the interests of the many, and I'm just deeply concerned in that regard.
I'd like to go now to a call from Angie. Good morning, Angie. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm just curious. I've been listening to the conversation, and I've heard a lot of Bible quotations, and I also used to be a fundamentalist Christian, so I understand the Bible and where the pastor's coming from. But I don't get why there doesn't seem to be an understanding of the separation of church and state. I mean, it's really clear in our Constitution, and the last comment about protecting the rights of the many instead of few, if I heard correctly, I thought that's what the Constitution was about, was protecting everybody's rights. So I also don't understand that comment. So
amen.
That's it. Just curious.
Stephen, Robert Allen with ACLU New Mexico, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not appropriate under our Constitution to use religion to discriminate against discrete groups of people in our country. You know, that said, you know, if we I would propose another call-in show where, you know, we could offer you a dozen different pastors to come in and offer a opposing viewpoint on Scripture. I'm not the person who can do that, but the caller's exactly right. You know, we're talking about something that from a legal standpoint, you know, people's religious beliefs, that's a separate issue from whether we should allow our government officials to discriminate against gay and lesbian citizens.
Daniel Ivy-Soto, your thoughts?
Just a quick point in terms of clarifying the position of the county clerks at this time on this issue, because you know, we have 33 county clerks in New Mexico. Among those county clerks, we have several who have a very traditional understanding of marriage and feel very comfortable with the current construct of marriage, and we have county clerks who would feel very comfortable issuing same-sex marriage licenses. But the county clerks understand that their role is to administer what we understand the law to be and not to be the ones creating the law. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why at this time, because our collective understanding is that it is not explicitly provided for in New Mexico law, the county clerks are declining to issue these licenses. The nice thing about the lawsuit that the ACLU has brought is that it'll provide us with a decision, and we will have someone of competent jurisdiction, a judge who will say either yes or no, and at that point the county clerk's responsibility is to follow the law, whatever that decision is.
Your closing thoughts, Stephen Robert Allen with the ACLU New Mexico.
I really appreciate the discussion. You know, I think it's been so encouraging to see the cultural shift in this country that's happened just over the last few months, let alone few years. You know, I'm sure there's still people in this country that believe that interracial marriage is inappropriate, but for the most part, we've moved on from that discussion. And I think what I see in this country is we're reaching a tipping point when it comes to this issue, where we've come, you know, we've reached a level of acceptance. And I think whether that's reflected in these court cases or not, the hearts and minds of American citizens, of citizens here in New Mexico, is changing. And I just think that's really healthy for our country.
Glenn Strock from the Pecos Valley Cowboy Church, your closing thoughts this morning.
Well, it's pretty obvious. I find in God's Word it clearly supports that we are all called to love one another, and it includes men loving men and women loving women. But how we choose to express ourselves sexually is another matter. And when we remove discrimination from sexual expression, we have indiscriminate sex, which compromises social order and the civil rights of everyone. So, you know, it is a slippery fish. There's no question about it. And we need to pray into it and find ways to respond to each other in a constructive fashion and look out for the best interest of everyone.
Great. Glenn Strock is the pastor of the Pecos Valley Cowboy Church in Glorieta. We also heard from Stephen Robert Allen of the ACLU New Mexico and Daniel Ivy-Soto with the Association of County Clerks. Earlier in the hour, we also heard from Santa Fe City Attorney Gino Zamora. If you missed any of the show, we'll post the audio online at KUNM.org just shortly, and you'll be able to go back and listen. We do welcome your questions and comments. You can email callinshow@KUNM.org or post your comments online. Calls were screened this morning by Andy Lyman. Michael Hess helped with assisting and producing the show. And your engineering today was done by Marshall Boyles. We'll be back next Thursday morning at 8 o'clock for the KUNM Call-In Show. Thanks for joining us.